You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Dick Allen swung a bat so big it could have passed for a tree trunk. He was one of baseball's most feared sluggers from his National League Rookie of the Year season in 1964 with Philadelphia through 1977. He batted almost 300, struck 351 home runs, and won a Most Valuable Player award in the American League. But Dick Allen became a historical figure as he came through the Phillies minor league system. In 1963, Allen, an African-American, was assigned to the Arkansas Travelers, located in the cauldron of segregation. Allen's task was simple: integrate the ball club and save baseball in Little Rock. It was a life-changing experience for him and the people of the city. Our guest, the acknowledged expert on this historical event, addressed the recent Society of American Baseball Research Convention with his seminar entitled Dick Allen, the Arkansas Travelers, in the Integration of Little Rock. And we welcome to the show Jacob Goldfinger. Jacob, thank you so much for doing this. I'm interested in knowing, how did you come to this subject?
Well, you know, I'm 46, and I grew up in Philadelphia, old enough to remember fans booing Mike Schmidt. And my slightly older cousins told me, oh, that was nothing. That was nothing compared to what Dick Allen experienced in Philadelphia. And what I learned was that his origin story was really actually 1963 Little Rock, being sent to save baseball in Little Rock and integrate the team for the first time ever. And that really affected the way he related to fans and the sporting press, and it really affected the rest of his career.
Put Little Rock, Arkansas in context. It was a historical city going back to 1957.
1957 was the Little Rock Central High crisis. Governor Orville Faubus,
an avowed segregationist.
Yes. He called out the Arkansas National Guard to prevent nine students, the Little Rock Nine, from entering Central High.
African-American students.
Exactly. And what happened in the subsequent 6 years was that economic growth in the city stagnated. There was a year when they closed public schools entirely. Business was really stalled. And finally, not entirely related to that, the Arkansas Travelers baseball team folded. There was no team in 62. They were members of the Southern Association, which had never integrated. And in 63...
It folded because of lack of interest?
It folded because the minor leagues were collapsing. Television cut into minor league attendance, and integration, or the failure to integrate the Southern Association, certainly was a significant factor in the collapse of the league. And so there was no team in 62. And when the Chamber of Commerce wanted to try to jumpstart economic growth in 63, part of their effort was focused on bringing back the Arkansas Travelers. The team was locally owned. It's an ownership structure similar to the Green Bay Packers. So there were 1,200 Arkansans, including Governor Faubus, who had shares in the Travelers. And the terms of their lease said if they went another season without baseball, they would lose their lease. And they had to find a league that would accept them. And given their history, given their racial baggage, they had a hard time doing that. So they really needed Dick Allen to endure a pretty miserable, threatening, harrowing season. And he did it alone.
And in 1962... while there were no Arkansas Travelers, Dick Allen's an A-ball, hitting .329 with 20 homers and 109 RBIs. Unthinkable now. And the Phillies, Jacob, obviously felt they could jump him from A-ball to AAA. The problem was that the AAA was in Arkansas.
Exactly. They had a pretty – he had probably the best spring training performance in 63, and based on performance, he could have justified jumping him directly to the majors, but they had a pretty strong outfield, and they weren't sure where he was going to play. what position he would play. And and jumping from A-ball to the majors in your age 20, 21 season is a big leap. So they were going to send him to the minors. And they had made an informal commitment that they would not play him in the South, in the minors. But by 1963, the only franchises they had above single A were in Chattanooga and Little Rock. So there wasn't really a good way to keep him out of the South. None of this was communicated to him, of course. But this is a big part of what determined his relationship with management and the press later on. Nobody told him what was going on or what was expected of him or really explained the burden that he was carrying that season. They put a lot on his shoulders at age 21.
He never knew what was going on in the background.
Exactly. The truth is a lot of people in Little Rock didn't know what was going on in the background. The city was pursuing a very quiet, secret plan to desegregate its downtown. The newspapers agreed not to report it. There was no black press to speak of. The civil rights leadership between the years of 57 and 63 had kind of disintegrated. So there really wasn't anyone even speaking indirectly for Dick Allen. There was no black newspaper he could consult to clarify what was happening around him.
Even so, Jackie Robinson had Wendell Smith.
Jackie Robinson had Wendell Smith. He had his wife with him at all times. He had a direct line to the owner. It's really unheard of by 1963 for a team integrating, for a major league club integrating a franchise to send a lone African American to a minor league team.
And it had to be Dick Allen. I'm sure the Phillies were not swimming in young African-American players in their system, and he was clearly, of course, the best of the prospects.
Well, he was the best, but there were certainly other players they could have sent either in his stead or as teammates. His older brother played most of the season in Miami, Harold Allen. Bobby Sanders, who also hit 20 home runs the year before in Williamsport. He was 27. He played in Chattanooga. Ferguson Jenkins was 19. He played most of the season in Miami. So there were players that the Phillies could have sent to Little Rock with Dick Allen, and just having a teammate there, just someone to have a meal with, certainly would have made his experience a little more tolerable.
Why do you think ultimately they chose him?
I don't really know. Based on performance, they could have sent other players there. I think he was pretty advanced. I think he was better than a double-A player. By the age 21, they certainly could have justified keeping him in the minors for more seasoning. There's never been a real explanation as to why he was the one chosen and why he was sent there alone.
How did the Travelers find a league to accept them?
Well, the Travelers GM was Ray Winder, and he had 52 years of experience. He moved to Little Rock to manage a stable in the early 20th century. And by 63, he was 78 years old. And he had deep connections throughout the league. Gabe Paul, who was the GM of the Cleveland Indians at the time, the Indians had a franchise in the International League. Basically, every GM more or less had veto power over the entry of Little Rock to the league that season. They had to allocate more funds to cover the travel expenses. So any team that decided that they weren't going to do that, in effect, had veto power. And Gabe Paul received some kind of assurances from officials in the city that visiting players would be safe, they would have integrated accommodations, and that there would be no trouble. Ray Winder, in addition to being the Travelers' general manager, was also a member of the Chamber of Commerce and on the city's board of managers. So he was quite influential, and he pulled a lot of strings to save this team.
Jacob Goldfinger is with us. He recently delivered a seminar at the Sabre Convention entitled Dick Allen, the Arkansas Travelers and the Integration of Little Rock, which had found its place, regrettably, historically, in 1957 by preventing 9 African-American kids from attending Central High in 1957. And that was resolved, Jacob, with the President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, sending in the military.
That's right. And that really scarred the city, and it really defined their reputation for years. Ironically, that was the first year that the Little Rock Travelers started calling them the Arkansas Travelers. It wasn't to disassociate themselves from those events, because they changed the name unofficially at the start of the season, but that's the effect it had.
I had the great good fortune to interview the great Don Newcomb, and he talked to me, Jacob, about after having signed with the Brooklyn Dodgers, they were going to send him to their farm club in Indiana, but that farm club in Indiana was located in the heart of where there had been Ku Klux Klan activity, and they rerouted Don Newcomb. And this is in the late 40s, they rerouted him to New Hampshire for his safety. So this story has precedence.
That's right. And the Dodgers were careful about keeping the first black players out of the South. Jackie Robinson, of course, played his minor league season in Montreal. The next year, Newcomb and Roy Campanella were sent to Nashua, New Hampshire. And, of course, they had the luxury of playing their home games in the majors in Brooklyn. It was a little more hospitable an environment than Dick Allen experienced, both in the minors and in the majors in Philadelphia.
How did the Phillies break the news to Dick Allen that he was on stage and he was going to be, if you will, the guinea pig in this experiment in Little Rock, Arkansas?
I don't know that they ever told him that he was going to be a guinea pig. I just think they just gave him the assignment. You're going to Little Rock, and that was the extent of it. Dick Allen has been quoted in other publications as saying that he had requested a raise. I think it was a $50 a month raise. He had gotten married, and he had had an outstanding season the year before for Williamsport, which won its title that year. And he thought it may have been punishment for having the temerity to request a small raise. I don't know if that was a factor. They needed an African-American ball player as a condition for saving the team in Little Rock, and he drew the short straw.
So he arrives in Little Rock, looks around, and says, "Wow, there's nobody around here that looks like me." And so tell us about that season, how it played out for him.
Well, he was the best hitter on the team. He was a runner-up for International League MVP to Don Buford. He was the team MVP. He had 33 home runs and 97 RBIs, both of which led the league. The important thing for Little Rock is they got through the season without major incident, and they turned a profit. That was a major concern for both the Phillies and the Travelers.
People came out as much to see, if you will, not indelicately here, the black guy as much as they did the return of baseball.
That's right. They were thrilled and about having baseball back. They were very concerned about losing the team. The Travelers' roots in Little Rock are pretty deep. They were charter members of the Southern Association in 1901, and they had baseball in Little Rock dating back to the late 19th century. So to not have a team was really a terrible thought for the city, and they owe Dick Allen a greater debt than maybe they're aware.
Or that he's aware, perhaps, even to this day.
I think he is. He certainly understood that they needed him to save the team. A lot of the specifics, a lot of the details about what was happening in the background, he probably wouldn't have known, because a lot of official Little Rock didn't know. He wouldn't have known that there was a secret committee meeting in the background, sitting down with restaurant owners talking about desegregating, or sitting down with theater owners talking about desegregating. One of the proposals was this committee sat down with some of the biggest restaurants in the city, and they said, we'd like you to desegregate. And the restaurant owner said, they say, sure, we'll do that. How about 6 days a week? And on Saturdays, we'll stay whites only after Arkansas Razorbacks football games. That was an actual proposal.
Wow.
Yeah. He was dropped into the middle of some serious craziness.
But were there businesses that said, you know what, if the baseball team can integrate, so can we?
I think there were many business owners who didn't particularly care about maintaining segregation. They were more worried about stirring up the opposition, and they just didn't want any trouble. They didn't want the headache.
Yeah, they were cowards.
Exactly. Well, yes, but nationally, a lot of places were doing this. The Kennedy administration was encouraging cities in the South to do this voluntarily. There's strength in numbers, and they said if you organize and if you do this quietly, you will have less trouble than if you ask someone to stick their neck out and be the first. So I think Little Rock was eager to move forward. They knew they needed to jumpstart the economy. They understood that much.
He had a wonderful season, 33 homers, 97 RBIs, the team most valuable player. How was attendance? Did he get a lot of attention?
He got a fair amount of attention. The press didn't talk about it too much. They didn't mention that he was the first or the only black player on the team. The press had agreed to keep all of the developments in Little Rock fairly quiet, basically unless something happened that couldn't be ignored, like a riot. They weren't going to cover the racial situation. And so Little Rock was able to keep itself out of the press. They were able to avoid a major incident. But there was just a constant low-level threat. Dick Allen did get threats. He was constantly harassed. And it's such a small town that just to step out of his apartment, it just meant spending every minute of every day in that city, in that season, knowing that he might literally be in someone's crosshairs.
It's astounding to hear this recounting of this shameful period in American history, that this young baseball player received threats on his life. And I can recall having a conversation with the great Rico Petrocelli, who played in Boston in the 60s and 70s and was a tremendous player with the Red Sox. And he was, I believe, Jacob, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and they had a black player. Now, Rico came from Brooklyn, New York. There were other Italians on the team who came from the North, and there was this one teammate of his who was African-American, and here they are in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and playing at home, it was punishment for this player, to the point in which Rico said there was a night in which the players were going to drop their gloves on the field and run into the stands and beat up these Neanderthals that were saying these things.
I've read many of those stories, especially for black players who came from the North and weren't accustomed to dealing with this kind of abuse and didn't know what they could say and could not say and who they could not say it to, that it was a harrowing experience.
These were things that were anathema to those people from the North who had to come and play baseball in the South. I had the great good fortune of one time interviewing Governor Mario Cuomo, who, as you know, played minor league baseball with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
And he was assigned to a Pirates farm club in Georgia. And he was standing in the outfield during batting practice. And the crowd had come in. And he noticed that there were white people on one side in the outfield and black people on the other. And he, coming from New York, was talking to the black fans, and people came over to Mario Cuomo and said, "No, you can't be doing that here." And he was just like, "What do you mean I can't be doing that? These are the people I grew up with. What are you kidding me?"
That was the experience. It was isolating for players who were accustomed to speaking to other races. You would walk into an environment where you weren't allowed to be friends with a white player, or if you were black, or vice versa. Just a simple conversation would get raised eyebrows or more, or worse.
The problem with this story about Dick Allen and the Arkansas Travelers, Jacob, is there really is no happy ending here. He went on from Arkansas to come to the major leagues the following season, win the National League Rookie of the Year Award with the Philadelphia Phillies, and had a tremendous career, but this experience left him bitter and disillusioned.
It left him disillusioned and also somewhat confused. For all of the racial turmoil that surrounded Dick Allen throughout his career, none of it really came from him. He wasn't someone who was particularly an activist. He wasn't someone who had any problem with black players, white players. He grew up with white teammates, white coaches, white friends. All of the racial tension was coming from outside. And when he came to the Phillies' official line about Little Rock was that there was no racial tension there.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I think they said it probably as hard as it is to believe. I think they meant it. I think they probably got their information from Ray Winder, and Ray Winder wasn't about to jeopardize the Travelers' chances of keeping the franchise. So the Phillies never really talked to Dick Allen about his experience. They got their information from Ray Winder, and they said he had a happy experience, relatively happy experience, in Little Rock. And so from the very beginning of his career, this put Dick Allen at odds with management, because to talk about his experience is now directly contradicting the Phillies' official line. And it's a shame, because the narrative around Dick Allen was just wrong from the start.
What a fascinating recounting of this historical event. Jacob Goldfinger is an expert on this incredible season 1963 that involved Dick Allen in AAA with the Arkansas Travelers, and behind his back, basically, the integration of Little Rock. It's a great pleasure to have you on the show. So that'll do it for Jacob Goldfinger and myself on MLB.com. If you were on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.